Today's program has been brought to you by White Oak Pastures, a five-generation Georgia-based beef and poultry farm determined to conduct business in an honorable manner. For more information, visit whiteoakpastures.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
You're listening live to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. Today, we'll be talking rum. But up first, a very quick food headline. If you're in the New York City area, you must have been hiding under a rock if you have not heard or seen or read the updates about all the food producers who were affected by Hurricane Sandy. I just wanted to do a brief shout out to one of my favorite people in the world who just launched a Kickstarter. She lost all of her equipment. That is Fanny Gearson from La New Yorkina. She runs a Paletas, which are Mexican popsicle companies. And her kitchen was in Red Hook, but she lost everything. And if you go to Kickstarter.com and put in La New Yorkina, you will find Fanny's fundraiser. She has a $20,000 goal to buy new equipment for her business, and she's right at $17,000. She's a great person, and I can see why people will totally exceed the $20,000 she's looking for to bring her business back. So I want to say to all you folks who are listening in New York City and beyond, please, please, please support businesses who were totally affected and wiped out by Hurricane Sandy. People say it wasn't a hurricane, but it definitely was a hurricane. So many people. My favorite guy, who's a spirits guy as well, Jack of Brooklyn Sorrel, he's coming back. The winery. I know all these folks have separate little fundraisers, and I'm going to try to highlight them, you know, at least one every week from now until whenever. So, yeah. Shout out to you, Fanny. Good luck on your Kickstarter campaign. I know you will exceed the $20,000. So, yeah, go there. Kickstarter.com. Put in La New Yorkina. So there you have it. Very quick, brief shout out. Food headlines. We're going to take a quick break and come and talk rum. Keep listening. We'll be right back.
What's up, man?
What's up, man?
You're listening to Space Disease on the HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Bust this! Bust this!
Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. I am super excited to have Bridget Fertel. She's the owner of the Noble Experiment NYC in the studio. I discovered you this fall, and I'm in love, in love, in love. Welcome to Hot Grease, Bridget.
Hey, thanks, Nicole. Thanks for having me. This is exciting.
Yeah, I think you launched your new product called Onis.
Yes, yes. It's funny you mentioned Hurricane Sandy because it was really right the week or two before then. So interesting end of the year. Of course, as any startup business, you thought you were going to be launching it prior to the summer. But, you know, here we are since January 1st, full steam ahead. So super pumped for a new year.
And so Onis, when people think rum, I immediately think of dark rum. But Onis actually is not a dark rum.
No, it's not. It's a white rum, which typically means it's not aged in general in the category, not aged or aged for a short amount of time. And being a startup craft distiller, you need to have something to bring to market to pay your overhead and bills while you wait for something to age in a barrel to get to be a dark spirit. So our first product is a white rum, Onis, and that's because it's the first thing we can make available to the consumer.
And it's smooth and buttery. I've had it so many times. I'm addicted. I really, really am. Explain the origins of rum, because when I think of rum, I always think the Caribbean. Is that the
Well, you know, that's a fair assumption. I think it's kind of up in the air where rum kind of first, you know, initiated from. Most people think Barbados, somewhere in the mid-1600s. There's been documentation from Brazil in 1620. But the interesting thing is, so, you know, there's a lot of history in the Caribbean and in South and Central America with rum due to the sugarcane plantations. But actually, rum was the first spirit we distilled in the United States during colonial times from molasses shipped up from the sugar plantations in the Caribbean.
So the sugar and rum, what makes rum rum? I hear the word molasses. I hear demure, that D-M-U-R-A.
Yeah.
I hear cane sugar. What are all these terms and how do they relate to rum?
And, you know, that's kind of one of the challenges for the rum category in general and for educating the consumer on rum, because it's actually the most loosely defined spirit, I think, in existence.
Really?
Yeah, so the only definition around it is that it has to come from some form of the sugarcane plant. So really what you wind up getting is a sugarcane juice rum or an agricultural rum, a rum agricole, typical to French countries and islands, and or a molasses-based rum. And molasses is the byproduct of sugar refining, so it's what you get after you extract the sugar from the juice. Some people also make rum from brown sugar, and it's just called a sugar wash, almost a moonshine.
So, okay, you mentioned, you said countries. That's what I want to talk about, because I hear different people, and I'm since meeting you, and even before, I was always fascinated by rum, but I hear people talk about Brazilian rums, and then I hear people say, oh, if you go to this liquor store, they have more French colony rums. Explain the taste of rums in those countries and rum production now in the United States.
Well, I guess I would say it's easiest to define them by language, almost Spanish-speaking colonies, or what once were colonies, English-speaking and French. And Spanish is pretty much where we, as Americans, drink most of our rum, just because most of the consumption is from Puerto Rican rum in this country. And that's like an Añejo rum, a white kind of drier rum, less, I mean, it's still very sweet and smooth, typically smooth. And then you'd have the English-speaking. So those are from countries like Cuba, Guatemala, Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic, Nicaragua. The English-speaking islands and countries typically have darker rums. So Gosling and Bermuda rum. Those are a greater amount of molasses flavor almost. And they're super sweet. Barbados, St. Lucia, things like that. And then the French colonies, or what were the colonies, now countries, you get more of the agricultural rums, as I was talking about, rum agricole, and they are actually making their rum from just the juice. And so you get a, which is, you know, cane is a type of grass, so it's a pretty grassy, reedy type of taste.
So when you come here, what are people, the average American, what do we like? And when we look on the shelves, stuff that's produced in the United States?
You know, it's
we like the watered down version.
I think that a lot of people are trying to educate the consumer on rum again, because I think that a lot of people just mix it with whatever, or have had a bad experience or a preconceived notion about, you know, rum and an XYZ mixer that they drank too much of it at some point. And it kind of has a bad rap. And I think it's going to take a little while to change that perception and create something that's tasty and enjoyable. But I think that there's an opportunity to create a different, unique flavor from what's massively produced.
Yeah, I mean, I see a lot of, you know, small batch. Your company, it's small batch. And I really, what is the definition of small batch distiller? Is there an exact definition?
Unfortunately, there isn't. It's such a, you know, immature, growing, exciting, you know, bustling industry at this juncture. There's little definition around what makes you a craft distiller, and it really, or a small batch distiller, and it's really state by state, given certain states have certain laws that define, you know, distillers as small distillers. But there are a ton of huge corporate companies that are marketing a product that says small batch.
I don't see a lot of rum. Why is that? I don't see
I think that it's for the reasons that I had explained before, and I think that it's a tough category to get people to appreciate again. And dark rums are people are understanding that now, and they've become sipping rums and treated like cognacs or a good whiskey. And I think that rum will have its resurgence as the people that are leading cocktail culture right now in terms of mixologists and different types of restaurateurs, foodies. They are intrigued by that, and they are helping to educate the consumer too, because there is place for white liquors and there's place for white rums, and a lot of people are doing gins because it's also a white liquor that mm-hmm. they can bring to market first. I really don't know the answer to the question why, and maybe the joke's on me. You know, I'm too young to
pioneer. That's what it means.
It's too early to say whether or not I made the right decision doing this, but the goal is to kind of, you know, bring back a rum to the Northeast and to New York again. So,
all right. So speaking of New York, we're going to take a quick break and talk about your New York City roots and the origin of the name Oni's.
Yeah.
Listeners, keep listening to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. We'll be back in a sec.
You're listening to AM by Shadowbox on the Heritage Radio Network.org.
Is the only farm in the United States that has its own USDA-inspected red meat abattoir or slaughterhouse and its own USDA-inspected poultry abattoir or slaughterhouse. We partner with Whole Foods to deliver our high-quality meat and poultry from Miami, Florida, all the way to Princeton, New Jersey. One family, one farm, five generations, 145 years. A full circle return to sustainable land stewardship and humane animal stockmanship. For more information, please visit our website, whiteoakpastures.com.
Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. If you're just tuning in, we're chatting with Bridget Fertile. Brains, beauty, and rum. Yes, Bridget is the founder and owner of the Noble Experiment NYC, and her latest spirit and latest, greatest, and first is called Oni's.
Yes, it is.
What's the origin of the name Oni's?
Well, I think with each of, because we are a New York City based company, and I'm really enthralled with the history of distilling in this state and in this country, I want to embrace that in whatever ways, shapes, or forms I can with my brands. And just to take a step back, grew up in Rockaway Beach in Queens, and the house that I grew up in housed a speakeasy that was active during Prohibition, about a block away from the beach. And so I wanted to pay homage to the last distilling industry, really last time distilling was popular in this city, and it was during Prohibition, albeit illicit. There were tens of thousands of stills throughout people's businesses, homes, and et cetera. And so Oni is actually the nickname of a man that was a gangster during Prohibition. And he was native to Hell's Kitchen, and he was a leader of the Gopher Gang at the turn of the century, and then super active during Prohibition. He was a speakeasy proprietor, a bootlegger, and then most important to me, he was a rum runner. And what rum running was is the ships would come up from the Caribbean filled with rum. They'd drop anchor about 12 miles offshore in international waters. And, you know, in the middle of the night, the gangsters would take their boats out, fill them up with rum, and smuggle them in. And he actually had an estate in Rockaway. So his crew would run off the shores.
I feel like I also heard you. I love that story. I went to your tour at your distillery place and you told that story. And I feel like when we talked before, at a New York Spirit event, you told me that, did this guy have a connection to the Cotton Club in Harlem?
He was at one point. He became, I guess he was a owner of it at one point.
Okay.
Yeah.
So much talk is going on with the Cotton Club. That's why I brought that
up. Yeah. It was obviously one of the most prominent speakeasies, and a lot of amazing music came out of that place. Yeah.
I want to talk about your drinking life. Do you get drunk at this distillery? Because I was like, the day that I came, I was like, oh my gosh, I need food.
I mean, words of wisdom, you don't get high on your own supply in the middle of the day, right?
Oh my God. So are you the person, do you do a lot of R&D when you're like, okay, let me go to bars, let me check out rums?
Yeah, you know, this is a really big relationship business. It's all relationships, really. And so it takes time and work to foster those relationships. And in a lot of the cases, that's bar hopping and checking out cocktail menus and doing R&D. And I get excited to see what certain bartenders come up with when they mix drinks with my rum, because I actually fully own up to that not being my expertise. So I like to outsource that to people who are talented at making these kind of creations. And so that's a big part of my life. It gets exhausting. I mean, it's a lot of fun. It's a really fun industry to be in, but some days it's like you look forward to the night where you're in, you know.
And I can't help but to think, you know, you're a woman, you go to the bar, and let's keep it real.
Yeah.
When you go to the bar, you know, this guy's got a lot of male energy. And when you say, yeah, I make rum, what kind of reactions do you get?
You know, it is challenging because when you roll up to the bar by yourself and sit at the bar, in a lot of cases, you're inviting, I guess, conversation that you might not want always. People are shocked. You know, their jaw drops when they, you know, really men get a kick out of the fact that I'm driving a forklift around the distillery and they don't believe it. And I still think that people don't believe it even when they come to see it. But
I was there at one of the tours. I mean, even my husband was like, wow, he was fascinated by you. I'm like, okay. Yeah, people are fascinated by it.
Yeah, it's been a big change of life for me. And it's really manual labor is super rewarding. And it's super awesome to be able to have something tangible to show for your work and enjoy and watch other people enjoy. That's, you know, you can't replace that.
And we were talking a little bit before we went on air. Too bad we didn't record that. Why do you think there are a lack of women in the distilling industry?
I really don't know. I know you were mentioning some theories you have. I don't know if it has to do with the manual labor. I don't know if it has to do with the fact that it is super male dominated at this juncture, and that, I don't know, maybe more women aren't attracted to that. I think that I must have someone could psychoanalyze me, they would probably define that I had some masculine traits because I used to work on Wall Street and that's super male dominated too. So I don't know the answer, but I think that it will change over time. I've met a lot of women over the past couple of months that are really excited to try and get into it as well. So
you know, we didn't talk about your whiskey world. What's coming next? You have the white rum, but you're rolling out two other products in the next few years, months. Mm-hmm. It takes time.
Yes. So we'll be have a dark rum and some limited editions of whiskeys, American whiskeys, too. Working on a rye whiskey right now and probably have a limited amount of bourbon at some point, too. Just trying to hold out for a while in terms of aging. And that's a big risk, right? It's a big risk because there are so many unknowns between now and then that it might be sooner than later.
Yeah. And I know I was happy to see, like, over the last few months, you've popped up in a lot of places. I think the first place I saw you was Astor Wines and Spirits, which is that's the top dog spot in New York City if you want to get your spirits or wines or whatever in this store. But what other bars and stuff in New York are you? And do you have plans on going to, like, maybe Philadelphia or other parts? Or?
I do. I have plans. I'd hope to be, you know, in a lot of places in the country over time. But I'm really trying to foster the development of the brand. So we're not going into any other market. We're only New York City, New York focused. We're in a couple places in Long Island and upstate, but really not launching in any new markets until we have somebody on the ground there, so a full brand representative. We are in about 30, 40, it's growing rapidly every week, bars and restaurants.
Oh, wow.
About 12, and should be probably by the end of this week 15 or 20 liquor stores that'll be on our website, but the bars and restaurants are...
So this is for my friend Adriana, who... When I was like not tweeting, I think I was Instagramming photos of your stuff. She was like, I live in Park Slope. Where can I find Park Slope? I was like, go to the website, and it wasn't on there. So Adriana, if you're listening, Bridget, tell us, yes, where can she find it in Park Slope?
So in Park Slope, you know, I actually spoke with her.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. She tweeted at me or Facebooked me or something. I have it on my website is drinkupnewyork.com, which is most of their business is an online business, but they do have a physical store on 4th Avenue and 10th Street.
Okay,
so cool. It's called Boracel Wines and Liquors at the physical presence.
Yeah, I've seen you. I can't even think of where. I kind of go out a lot, so I feel like I saw you. Oh, you're at in Bed-Stuy. You're in like two spots in Bed-Stuy. Yeah. I'm like, I'm excited about that.
Yeah, we're in Peaches Hot House.
Yes, that's two blocks from my house.
Saragina, and then 56 degrees. So
yeah, shout out representing for the style.
Yeah.
All right, folks, we're gonna take a quick break and come back. We're gonna talk. You know what's this weekend? Super Bowl. We're gonna talk about rum and Super Bowl. Right after a short break. Keep listening to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network.
This one's called CO by Shadowbox on the Heritage Radio Network.org. Wednesday at noon, Dorothy Cann Hamilton, founder and CEO of the International Culinary Center, interviews the top chefs in the world on Chef Story. Hear from chefs like Christina Tosi.
I'm going to be the best pastry cook this restaurant's ever seen.
Francis Malman.
Cooking with fire, it's very feminine, it's very fragile.
And Jacques Pepin.
I was invited to work at the White House for John Kennedy.
Learn how the greats become great every Wednesday at 12 p.m. on Chef Story. HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Welcome back to Hot Grease on the Heritage Radio Network. Let me give a shout out and a thank you to Joji, who's engineering today's Hot Grease. Hey to White Oak Pastures in Georgia, sponsor of today's show. Let me give a Southern Girls hug also to Roberta's Restaurant, located at 261 Moore Street in Brooklyn, New York. The location of two sustainable shipping containers known as Heritage Radio Network. If you're just tuning in, we're talking rum with Bridget Fertel, the person behind Oni's Rum. All right, folks, you know how we do it here on Hot Grease, the Hot Five. The Hot Five is a rundown of five things on fire. It's where business owners, farmers, all the greats in food dish on their favorites. Today, Bridget is going to give us five things to do with rum for the Super Bowl, during the Super Bowl, around the Super Bowl, or whatever, all related to Super Bowl. But before we start, I have to ask you, are you a Beyonce fan?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you are? Really, Bridget? Boo. You really like, what do you like about, you like the work ethic? I like that.
You don't like her music at all?
Yeah, I listen to it. I just think she's kind of robotic.
Yeah. I mean, they all kind of sound the same, but...
She has no personality.
She's very good looking.
Well, yeah. I have. Good looks can get you only so far. But so people are going to tune in to Super Bowl. I know I tune in always to have a little drink, to have a little food, and to see the halftime performance.
Oh, that's where I was like, where did Beyonce come from? Now I get it.
Now I'm putting
two and two together.
Yeah, you're like, where the hell? People are going to tune in for those three things. So why are they doing it? I'm like, hey, we need the five things to do with rum. Mm. So number five, suggestion. What do you have for folks who are looking for ideas to use rum in their cocktail or their Super Bowl menu?
Well, I would say number five for me would be a rum cake.
Ooh.
So there are plenty of very creative recipes on the internet for rum cakes. I'm tried some of them myself, and I would say that is number five because I would always prefer a cocktail over it. So I'll leave that towards the end. But
I haven't heard. This is so funny. You said rum cake. I have not heard anyone mention a rum cake in so long. And I grew up with people making rum cake. I remember them soaking the fruit in rum. Mm. Rum cake. Wow. I might have to make that.
Yeah, it's really good. And I've learned there are a couple of bakeries around the city now that are doing boozy cakes or really cupcakes, and bakers using booze a lot in their products. And it's It's quite a treat.
Yeah, friend of the show, First Prize Pies is coming out with a new business called Butter and Scotch. It's going to be all...
Oh, cool.
Yeah, yeah. They're opening a new bar, a concept, sweet concept, doing booze and sweets. So there you have it. Number five, rum cake. Number four on Miss Fertile's Super Bowl rum.
Well, I guess I would say that... everyone's been sick recently, myself included. So, why don't we use booze to help fight our colds and flus and make a rum toddy?
Rum toddy. So, what are you putting in the rum toddy?
Hot rum, hot water, or hot apple cider if you want. Honey, lemon slice, cinnamon stick garnish.
Okay. So, you like just do rum instead of whiskey?
Yep.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So there you have it, a rum hot toddy. We need a hot name for that, huh? We got to come up with a hot name. I know you say you try to leave the cocktails to the
experts.
I
know. I need to get good at... People are so good at coming up with cocktail names. I need to work on that.
We got to get you on, I forget, the speakeasy. Mm-hmm. Jack, if you're listening, make that happen. Let's get Bridget on the speakeasy show. I forget his name. What's his name, Joe, that hosts the speakeasy? He's a wine director at Prime Meats and all that stuff.
Oh,
we're
cool.
Gonna get you on there, Bridget.
It's Damon Bolte.
There you have it. Speakeasy. I forget what day it comes on Heritage Radio Network, but go to our website, heritageradio.org, and you can see all things cocktails.
Cool.
Number three on the Hot Five,
well,
rum edition.
You know, we're watching football, and why don't we do a shot every time a touchdown is scored?
Really? Rum shots?
It's really smooth. Oni's is...
Oni's is really
just
smooth.
Just chill it a little bit. And I mean, I hardly ever do shots, but hey, it's a Super Bowl party.
Okay, so do you... With shots of rum, it needs to be chill. Do you need like a chaser or something behind it, or...
I don't, but... I mean, I hardly ever do them. I just thought, oh, party, festive. Make a little drinking game out of it, so... I would assume that a lot of people would need a chaser. So you could just put you could make like sort of a daiquiri type shot. Just put a little lime in there and shake it up or chase it with a Coke or ginger beer.
I like it. So number two.
I would say to make a punch. Having a Super Bowl party, you can make a bowl of punch.
Punch is a thing. I love the punch idea. You know, when you make a good bowl of punch and it's really strong, it can last a long time and people get really, really...
Yeah, well, it goes down so easily. And I, like, love looking at old school punch bowls online. Like, having a nice, like, high quality, beautiful punch bowl is, like, awesome.
Do you collect punch bowls?
I don't, but I like to look at... I have an appreciation for them.
Yeah, they're kind of pricey.
They are.
I mean, the really nice ones, they can be like $300-$400.
Yeah, yeah. The crystal ones and everything like that. So.
Yeah.
But they all remind me of sort of like a different era. So
exactly. It really takes you back to when people drinking and making punch when the punch really was the center of the entire evening.
Yeah, yeah.
The punch bowl. So number two, Bridget gave us the idea of punch, rum punch. And number one on the Hot Five, Super Bowl Oni's Rum Edition.
I have to go number one. My favorite way to drink Oni's in a daiquiri, in a classic daiquiri. And I mentioned this because I've learned through doing my tours that most people think a daiquiri is something frozen and pink with an umbrella in it. And that's good too when you're sitting on the beach in a tropical climate. But a classic rum daiquiri is rum, lime juice, and simple syrup. And you can also do variations with that by making your own simple syrup. I've been making different flavored simple syrups and substituting that for a traditional simple syrup. You can add bitters to it. And it's just, you can't replace that drink. And I think that everyone should try a daiquiri in their life they'd be enlightened.
Yes. Make your own simple syrup. There are a ton of great.
Yeah, there are tons.
Of great small batch artisanal simple syrup makers. Bridget, thanks so much for coming on Hot Grease.
Thanks for having me. This is awesome.
You have to tell folks how to find you on all the social properties.
Okay. Well, we're on Facebook, The Noble Experiment NYC on Facebook, and our Twitter handle is TNENYC, and it's the same for our Instagram, TNENYC.
There you have it. Bridget, person behind Oni's Rum. You heard it here first, y'all. Go pick some up. Bridget, you have to come back on.
Oh, I can't wait. This is the first time I've ever been on air at any point in my life, so it's an awesome experience.
It was our pleasure to have you on the network.
Great.
Listeners, thanks so much for tuning in to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Remember, you can join me here every Monday at 3:30 Eastern Time. But until then, always take the road less traveled.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.